Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We now get to chat to Eugene Herbert, the Chief Executive of MasterDrive. Eugene, good morning to you.
Hi there. Are you well, Chad?
I'm well, thanks, my mate. And you?
Hey, man. I'm down in the Cape at the moment, and the weather is stunning, so I really am not complaining. I think it's an awesome day. What's it like up in Gauteng?
Not that bad this morning, and yesterday turned out not too bad. It was about 3 degrees lower in the morning. I think it was because of the snow in the Eastern Cape and Lesotho. But today picked up nicely. Yeah. I hope we're over that cold spell. So yeah. Something that's impacting on all South Africans is the fact that the petrol price has gone up, and with that, of course, is the knock-on effect. And one of my personal gripes, so this becomes an interesting interview for me, because one of my personal gripes is driving on the highway and seeing that the majority of vehicles have single drivers as the only occupants in the vehicle. And they all tend to be going in the same direction to the same place, to office parks in different areas. And I've always thought to myself, why did we have a carpool lane? Why did we introduce carpooling? It seems to be the most obvious solution to a lot of problems. But of course, with that comes its own set of problems. So our conversation today is, are South Africans keen to carpool in the first instance? And if they are, what does vehicle insurance say about that?
Chad, you know, it's really an interesting comment. And I think that South Africans, first let me make a comment, and whether it's right or wrong, we'll see. Many of us like our own space, and I'm talking to South Africans. Our car is our sort of our domain, our castle. And therefore, we like to be very selfish about it. So I think there's a lot of background to that. But in today's world, I think pragmatism must dictate that we've got to do things differently. And you know, there's what's that Latin expression, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Now, if we just change that for a moment and say, let the rider or let the driver beware, because if we now choose to follow this route, and please, I'll be the first to advocate that it makes a whole lot of sense to do it. There's a couple of things that we must make sure. And I think the biggest one is the possibility, and I'll outline three kind of scenarios for you, is the possibility that we may be shortchanged at the end of the day. Firstly, if we decide that this is now going to be a business, and remember, the insurers are not necessarily privy to our way of thinking. And I recall an instance, a young man, he was asked by his boss to up the mail on the way back from the shops where we went to pick up something to eat. He had an accident, a crash on the way back. He put in his claim, and in his document he said he'd been collecting mail. They asked him who for? Oh, for the business. And on the basis of that, they said his vehicle was not insured for business purposes. It was only insured for private purposes, and thus repudiated the claim. Now, that was a number of years ago, and today, admittedly, with the Ombudsman, probably that may be rectified. But that's how trivial some of these things can be. So if we are using our vehicle and we decide that we're going to charge, I say to Chad, you and your friend and your colleague, etc., you pay me X amount per month, and we will use our car, use my car to get to work. We need to be very careful that we're not doing that for reward for two reasons. One, we could be in contravention of the Road Traffic Act, which says that if we are carrying passengers for reward, we need a public driving permit. So you can imagine it could have insurance implications there. But typically, here is the two following scenarios that we could fall within. And the one which is a little bit problematic, I don't know about you, but I like to drive. So if I were carpooling, I'd get very nervous when somebody else is driving. So I'd volunteer to drive. Now, we must ask ourselves the question, and this is the owner of the vehicle, does my insurance allow me to let somebody else drive who's not a designated driver? Because if we're involved in a crash, it could be that the claim is going to be repudiated. And then the third scenario is, and this is probably the one that you and I can relate to more readily, we say to Chad, this week we'll use my car, next week we'll use your car, and we go the rounds over there. We're all coming from a similar suburb or a similar area, and therefore we're going all to the office. Now, in principle, that shouldn't be a problem. However, as passengers in that vehicle, we need to remember that we're doing so, or we're ride-sharing at our own risk. The driver and the vehicle insurer carries no liability toward us in any way whatsoever should there be an incident. And then the onus would be on us to claim if there was something from the road accident fund. And we know what chaos that is. So these are the kind of three scenarios. And that's why I said to you at the beginning, let the driver, let the rider beware. Before we engage in something like this, let's be sure to make sure that our insurer is happy. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I don't like these call centers where you never speak to the same person. And that's why I prefer to take my insurance through a broker, because then I make it their problem.
Eugene, you hit on some really important points there, and I've actually learned something. The fact is, if you're making a few rand extra by carpooling, by taking your mates to work and dropping them off in and around the area, you're right. An insurer could turn around and say, well, you weren't using the vehicle for the designated purpose. And more importantly, if you are involved in an accident, you could have serious legal ramifications if you didn't have a public driver's permit and other people were injured. And the Road Accident Fund would be hesitant to go further with certain claims. So it's a fascinating set of circumstances that you've presented with us. Because for me, driving, seeing the people, because I don't necessarily have to drive long distance to get to work. The only time I go on to the motorway is if I'm going to a meeting somewhere. And that's when I see all these people heading in the same direction towards the same office parks. And it just consumes me that there's so many vehicles on the road, and we could reduce it by upwards of three times the amount. So we could have three times less rather the amount of cars on the road. But you've brought in the fact that South Africans, they are very, very pedantic about their space, yes. And you've also brought up the fact that there are legal ramifications. So I think people should explore this. And I think, like in the 70s, where we saw more people buying motorbikes because it was cheaper for fuel to get to work on a motorcycle, I do see a growth in carpooling. In fact, I hope to see a growth in carpooling.
You know, if I can just maybe share, there was a time when taking a taxi was the only solution, and we hated it. But look at what's happening with ride-hailing services. People have changed where they prepared to, because of technology, get into a vehicle. And by the way, I took an Uber from Owatamba the other day. One of the more frightening experiences I've had in my life. And I really don't like the fact that a novice driver is behind the steering wheel. But the point is, people change. Now, yes, a challenge, and maybe this is something we've got to take to corporates. Remember, a good percentage of the vehicles on the road are either owned by a company, or the person who's driving it gets a car allowance from the company. Now, just put aside our desire to have a personal possession. Can you imagine, and this came out as a discussion over dinner the other night with a colleague, if companies said, hold on a sec, we are now going to, you live in an area, this is going to be a policy, you will get this incentive, et cetera, et cetera. So this week, there's a car that A, B, and C will use, et cetera. Can you imagine if corporates made that decision? They can be the driving influence behind a change in our traffic density that we experience.
It could really be a change, and it's a change that we really need. Eugene, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure. Take care.
Eugene Herbert is the chief executive of Master Drive, and he was chatting to us about South Africans and carpooling.